Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition and another week of the Zach Gilb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gilb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Whole lot to do. First football Sunday of the year in the books. We will conclude week one tonight, as you do have the Buffalo Bills up against the New York Jets, Josh Allen up against Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if the weather will hold up in the swamps of Jersey, as it's been raining all throughout the day in the New York, New Jersey area, and the weather conditions look like they're only getting worse. So I know there's some bad thunderstorms happening right now. We'll see when they get the clear to play that game coming up a few minutes after 8 p.m. Eastern this evening. So we got a whole lot to do today. We'll recap all the chaos from yesterday. We'll also talk about a big weekend in college football. Colorado continues their winning ways. They're now in the top 20 of the AP poll. And you also had Texas. We're back. All right, maybe not. We'll have to see how the season plays on out. But Texas did defeat Alabama by 10 points. So we'll recap all that and get to the game tonight. Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator in the NFL, also was a head coach for the Buffalo Bills, interim head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He'll join us coming up in 20 minutes from now. And then in his weekly spot from BetQL, Nick Costos will join us at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. But first up, producing this fine extravaganza is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
Alrighty, yesterday you had some impressive performances. You look inside the NFC. The major storyline inside the NFC is who is going to be that third team that emerges in the NFC. We know the Eagles are spectacular, even though they just survived up against the Patriots yesterday. You look at the 49ers. The big question is, how real was Brock Purdy in that 8-game sample size from a year ago? We know their roster is loaded. Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and all the defensive players too. We go on and on and on with the players by the San Francisco 49ers. But what will we see from Brock Purdy? And yesterday, Brock Purdy was rocking out with his Brock out and looking Purdy awesome, and he was one of the biggest storylines from week one, because he went into a tough environment in Pittsburgh up against a very good defense of the Steel Curtain with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he dominated them. Had a great connection with Brandon Ayuk for 2 touchdowns. You had the Christian McCaffrey 65-yard touchdown run as well. And you got to see, once again, which we all knew, how great the San Francisco 49ers could be, but that Brock Purdy and what you saw last year, there's not going to be a massive fall from grace with him, where we still need to see if he could do it throughout the entirety of a 17-game regular season. But he displayed to you that he still has that in him. And the question is, how far can he take it with the team that we all know the 49ers are Super Bowl or bust? But to go up against that Steelers team and annihilate them yesterday, it once again just reiterates the people that believe in Brock Purdy and furthers, allows them to double down on their confidence with Brock Purdy. So a heck of a victory yesterday for the 49ers. So we knew how good the Eagles are. We knew how good the 49ers are. The question becomes, who's that third best team in the NFC? And we talked about it all offseason long. Maybe it's Seattle. Didn't look that way yesterday up against the Rams. You know, maybe it's the Lions. Okay, give Detroit credit. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs to open up the season on Thursday Night Football by a point. You know, maybe it's the Giants. Nope. Look what happened to the Giants last night. They got slayed by the Dallas Cowboys. It's not Minnesota. Minnesota lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you knew the teams that were in the conversation of who could be the third best team in the NFC. And I think everyone would have agreed that in the regular season, if you tell me that the Eagles and 49ers are 1 and 2, the third best team in the regular season, yeah, probably the Dallas Cowboys. Back-to-back 12-win seasons, have a championship-caliber defense. Offensively, they made improvements this offseason, right? Finally handed the baton to Tony Pollard, who's been their best running back the last two seasons. Zeke Elliott no longer there. CeeDee Lamb's a stud. You bring in Brandon Cooks. Now you got Michael Gallup healthy. And you just look at that offense. The big question is, what can Dak Prescott do in the big games? And I've said this all throughout the offseason. I don't want to overreact to anything the Cowboys do in the regular season because we've done that at times with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys through the last 2 years. And then come playoff time up against the 49ers, we see that Dak Prescott comes up short. But making a statement in week one is important. And you knew that if Dak Prescott had a bad performance yesterday and the Giants won that game, every show across the country today is going to be talking about this is why the Cowboys can't win a Super Bowl or get to an NFC title game. But you look at how the teams of that are contenders in the NFC are so thin and so small that why can't the Cowboys go make a run? And it all comes down to one guy, and it's number four. And number four was by far and away the better quarterback yesterday. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you today that now I'm jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store and now really believing in the Dallas Cowboys, but the Cowboys showed you what they're capable of up against a team that got to the second round of the playoffs last year. And I get it. I expect regression with the Giants. I didn't pick the Giants to make the playoffs this year. I don't think they're going to bottom out, but that was a complete and utter ass-kicking last night. So you look around from yesterday, the Cowboys with a dominant victory, very impressive. The 49ers once again show you that Brock Purdy is starting to move into that conversation of not just a nice 7-8 game story, that he could be the real deal. And we have to see how these stories do play out throughout the rest of the season. But yesterday, the Cowboys and 49ers against two teams that are good, right, in the Steelers and the Giants, just had very impressive performances where it wasn't like they won the game by a few points. And it's like, oh, okay, you won in a sloppy way. They just dominated the Giants and the Steelers when you look at what the Cowboys and 49ers did yesterday. But it got me thinking, who had the most impressive performance from Sunday? And I'm talking about a team. Which team had the most impressive performance? You could throw the Cowboys in there. You could throw the 49ers in there. If you want to say Cleveland, I can't really fault you for that. They beat up on the Bengals 24-3, and Ja'Marr Chase is still running his mouth after the game. You take a glance at the Dolphins. What a great game that was. High-octane offense, fireworks, explosions, and Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, how could you not feel great for Tua yesterday? And there was a reason why I picked the Dolphins to win the AFC East before the year. I know everyone talks about the concussion fear, and I get it. But when everyone's saying Tua's not going to make it through a season, I kind of just felt like you got to go the other way because everyone expects Tua to get hurt this year at some point. We don't want to see it, but everyone's expecting it with what our eyes saw last year. But Tua made a great throw to Tyreek Hill. Tua was awesome in the contest. He couldn't even believe how many passing yards he had after the game with the on-field reporter from CBS Sports. But that was such a fun game, and the Dolphins show you what they're capable of. And I'm wondering how we're talking about the Dolphins tomorrow, depending about what we see tonight from the Jets and the Bills. I got to give a lot of credit to the Green Bay Packers, too. You don't have Christian Watson. Romeo Doubs not 100%. Aaron Jones not really used until the second half. And everyone's saying before the game, up, the Bears are improved. Up, the Bears are going to be great. And the Green Bay Packers show you, it doesn't matter if you get rid of Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers still and will always be able to dominate and own the Bears. And what a blowout that was yesterday. Looked how confident, cool, and calm that Jordan Love did look without Christian Watson. And that was a very fun storyline yesterday. If you're a Packers fan, if you're a Bears fan, ugh, you probably said, here we go again. And then I got to give credit to two more teams, then I'll answer the question. Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be all that good this year. But Tampa Bay showed you yesterday they believed in Baker Mayfield. And they're going up against a Minnesota team that I've defended big time this offseason. And at times, Minnesota looked like the better team. But Baker saw an opportunity, and then Baker capitalized. And I got to give credit to Baker Mayfield, who's playing for his NFL future this year. And Baker Mayfield had a good first impression. But when we go through all these teams, and I'm not taking away from any of these teams, all these teams were impressive. Cowboys, absolutely. 49ers, absolutely. Browns, absolutely. Dolphins, Packers, Bucks. The team I keep on circling back to, and I'm not saying that this team's going to go to the playoffs because I don't believe it, but someone who's been a big-time defender of them has been my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. He got a little uneasy right before the start of the season, but who could blame him with the injuries that they have? But you look at what the Rams did yesterday up against a Seahawks team that I believe in and a Seahawks team that I think is very good. The Rams took it to Seattle. And let me remind you, the Rams took it to Seattle in Seattle without Cooper Kupp. We're talking about Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua. Those were the two guys that both went over 100 yards receiving yesterday for the Rams. And so much, and I know his wife did it to him, but so much for Matthew Stafford not being able to connect with his young teammates. Because Matthew Stafford once again showed you what he's capable of as a quarterback in the NFL. And it stunk that last year injuries derailed his season. But you look at what the Rams did yesterday up against the Seahawks. For me, from everything that I saw on a week one Sunday in the NFL, that was the most impressive. Because I had no expectations for the Rams this year. I've only expected them to be a really bad team. Because you look at that team, they have three stars. It's Stafford, it's Aaron Donald, who is still a force. Geno Smith was so scared of him. And then also Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp wasn't in the game. And to go to Seattle and to get that victory and dominate them with a team that I expected nothing out of, that was the most impressive performance that I saw from Sunday in the NFL for week one. Hickey, let me open it up to you. We just ran through a bunch of them, and all of them are impressive that I did discuss. But who is the one team that you keep on circling back to that you go, man, either you didn't see that coming, or when you were watching it, you just kept on saying, wow, 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 that was a really impressive performance from yesterday in the NFL?
I got to go to another team I believed in, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a game where it was ugly. Don't get me wrong. The Vikings had no problem moving the ball up and down the field a ton
until the game.
Right until when it really mattered.
Kirk had like 320 yards passing entering the fourth quarter. He finished the game with like 344.
And that is the impressive part for the Buccaneers. They weathered the storm. I mean, look, got lucky with at least one fumble where Kirk just drops the football. But the sack, you force your own luck there. The interception, you force your own luck. And in the fourth quarter, Baker made a few clutch throws and a clutch drive.
Yeah, he did.
And the defense stepped up when you need to. Nice win for Tampa on the road.
Now, you pat yourself on the back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I'll give you credit for. I'm sure you were impressed with the Raiders yesterday. All you've done is crap on the Raiders all offseason, and all you've done is praise the Broncos. I thought you were a Broncos fan now, and you were feeling yourself. We'll get into that later with some of your tweets about Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. But man, oh man, what happened to your Denver Broncos yesterday? You have to give credit, and you have to be impressed with the Raiders, right?
I will not ruin what is going to be a fun segment in a little bit on the show, but I will say the Denver Broncos, worst loss of week one.
Oh.
Congrats, Sean Payton. Congrats, Russell Wilson. And I guess congrats, Josh McDaniels.
And Jacoby Myers still scoring touchdowns for the Raiders. Did it last year and doing it again this year.
I mean, could we get a pass rush? Can we cover somebody?
I told you the Broncos aren't all that good. I tried to tell you year long.
I personally will have to rally the troops in Denver because I don't know what Sean Payton was doing all offseason,
but
it did not work there in week one.
If you have to go to Hickey leading the troops, oh my, that's going to be ugly. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back with Greg Williams, longtime NFL defensive coordinator, was the interim head coach for the Cleveland Browns, head coach for the Buffalo Bills. I saw some photos of him yesterday getting at it. He was at the Browns game. He was tailgating before the game, looking like he was having a fun time, so we'll connect with the longtime NFL defensive coordinator and Greg Williams next. Do you ever find that just as you're trying to fall asleep, your brain suddenly won't stop talking? Do your thoughts start racing right before bed or another inopportune moments? It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace. You know, we've all been through some unpredictable times over the past few years, and it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gelb, G-E-L-B, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gelb.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we continue. This is The Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in longtime NFL defensive coordinator. Now is with the DC Defenders in the XFL. He is the former head coach of the Buffalo Bills and also a former interim coach of the Cleveland Browns. And I know a lot of people are having fun with this on social media yesterday. Greg Williams was getting at it right before the Cleveland Browns game up against Cincinnati Bengals, and I saw him having a good time tailgating in the parking lot, and the longtime NFL defensive coordinator is here with us. Greg, appreciate the time. How are you?
Ryan, thank you very much. I'm doing great, and that was a great experience yesterday. In 40-plus years of coaching, I never had a chance. It's the first tailgate that I've ever been in my life. And those Cleveland Brown fans were phenomenal. It was fun to be around them. And I was glad to see how well they played in the game also.
So what brought you to the game, just wondering? I know that you were there in Cleveland for a few years, but I think a lot of people were surprised to see you there before the game.
Well, the big thing is, as you see sitting beside me, is my son, Blake Williams, and he was on the staff with me too. And it was been on, you know, 15 years in the NFL and won a Super Bowl with, he and I were the very first father-son to win a Super Bowl together on the same coaching staff down at the New Orleans Saints many years ago. But he still lives here in town and has a beautiful home here and now has moved over into wealth management and technology and is ownership of a couple of companies and works in downtown Cleveland. And in fact, his office looks right down at the Cleveland Brown Stadium. And so I came in here to see the family for the weekend. And all of a sudden, bam, we went downtown. It's his idea to go do that. And, you know, and I thought it was a fantastic idea and it was a lot of fun.
So Greg Williams and Blake Williams here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Blake, didn't you go to Princeton, right?
I did. Yes, I did.
For years, I actually did a local radio show with Bob Saray. So what a small world that is. I always loved that Princeton community. Great place.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job. I mean, I can't say enough, obviously, about what he's done. And it's just I didn't play under Bob. I was under a different coaching staff, but he came in, I think, during my time at the when I was coaching at the Saints, and he's done an amazing job there, developing guys, recruiting guys, I mean, different guys, right? Like if you look at the number of Ivy League guys that are playing in the NFL right now, and that a vast majority of them are from Princeton under him, I mean, he and his staff have done a heck of a job there.
So, Greg, what were you like at the tailgate yesterday, just wondering? Because we saw some of the pictures, but it seemed like you were enjoying yourself. How was the food? How were the drinks down there?
Well, you love this, is that I had an Ultra, a Michelob Ultra, one beer before I left, and didn't have time to eat or do anything because the fans were so great, and I will never turn my shoulder on any fan in my whole career. And we had a great time taking pictures and videos with them because they were such great fans. And, you know, I guess I liked it when I was here and did a lot of autograph signing and that kind of stuff. But really was just going down there to have a good time. But then when they wanted the autographs and then when they wanted videos and pictures, we did that, too. And it was a fantastic time.
Yeah, what did you make?
I'll say the food and drinks were pretty good when he was when he was playing mayor of the beauty lot. I was getting into some of the pierogies and wings and a couple more different types of beers, and it was a good time.
And
it was
awesome. Just what he just said right there. I've been getting pounded and was getting pounded down there by all the fans on. They want me to be the mayor of Cleveland now. So there's a big. There's a big push behind the scenes right now, and we'll see if somebody can handle the budget right and see if I can step in and make sure everybody's doing the right thing as being the mayor of Cleveland.
So how about that? Man of the people, Greg Williams here with us, along with his son, Blake Williams, as well. What did you make, Greg, though, of that Browns defensive performance? Because the whole Joe Burrow to 3 points and under 100 yards passing, man, that was an impressive performance yesterday.
And I'm very happy and very proud. You know, Jim Schwartz worked on a staff with me before at the Titans and moved his way up through the ranks there at the Titans before I left to go to the Bills. And then I got a chance to make my position known well with Coach Jeff Fisher, a good friend of mine. And I pushed very hard for him to hire Jim as I left. And he's just done a very, very, very good job in his career. It's not a shock to me at all on how he got those guys to play. Now, I will tell you this, they did a very, very good job of disturbing and disrupting Joe Burrow. And you can also see whether I don't care what other people think, the importance of getting some live snaps in preseason games. And as you saw, he was behind a little bit in some of the decisions that he was making. They were very disruptive on moving him off the spot that the quarterback wants to occupy. And tell you the truth, Jim blitzed a little bit more than I thought. You know, 39% of the snaps that he called in the ball game were some type of a blitz pressure. And I was wondering if he was listening to me talking his head or not, because I'm always the one who blitzes more than anybody else. And Jim rose up and pressured pretty good too.
Greg, what was it like when you were in Cleveland to coach Myles Garrett? Because we know how what he's turned into be, and we know how great of a player he is. But give me kind of that background, you being in the same locker room as him.
Well, the big thing that was that I had a big voice in us drafting him number one overall. I can tell some behind-the-scenes stories in the draft room that I really shouldn't share on who they thought they were going to draft until I kind of put my foot down and said, we're going to draft Myles Garrett unless you want me to have a press conference. And so we ended up taking Myles. He's got rare athletic ability. He continues to need to be pushed and prodded and to continue to be the best that he can be. He's doing a better job with his voice, but now he has to understand with his voice, his example that he sets means so much more on his effort, his toughness, his technique. All the things that he's doing now as a leadership has to be seen before listened to. And I'm really proud of how far he's come. And I think Jim Schwartz will take him even further.
So what were those decisions like? You teased it a little bit. What were those decisions like in the draft room before you guys went to Myles Garrett?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody pretty much understands that I'm going to voice my opinion. And You ask me my opinion, and I voice my opinion, and it hurts your feelings. Don't ask me the next time.
Greg Williams here with us, along with his son, Blake. I want to ask you a little bit about someone that used to work with Sean Payton. Yesterday did not go their way up against the Las Vegas Raiders. But what do you think Sean's going to bring to the Denver Broncos after taking a year off?
I think Sean is a phenomenal football coach. And in all honesty, he's the best offensive football coach I've ever had a chance to work with. It did not surprise me one bit that he onside kicked to open the game. It did not surprise me at all. On whatever anybody else wants to talk about on field position. It was, as I take a look at both of those guys, Josh McDaniels is a very close friend of mine also. I have a lot of respect for him as an offensive coach. And two really strong offensive coaches going back and forth. There were only really six real possessions apiece. And they both ran the clock very well. It ended up being a low-scoring game, and you can see how close it is to making every play be the most important play of the game when you come down and win a one-point game in the National Football League. But I think both of those guys did a very good job, and then they'll continue to adapt to the personnel that they get a chance to coach. You know, Sean is outstanding on adapting to his personnel. He understands the verbiage. He understands the style of offense he wants to play. It was really good for me to see how much pocket presence that Russell Wilson had yesterday, as opposed to moving off the spot, running, taking off, and doing all the other improvising things. That's not going to go well with Sean Payton. I'm just letting you know. And he and Drew Brees were fantastic about that. Drew was a little bit more mobile before. Sean started coaching him and started talking about the timing of every single play and the reads of every single play to make sure you control the timing and not the other team controlling the timing. They'll only get better. And I look for good things to happen back in Denver.
Greg, with all that being said. Go ahead, Blake.
No, I totally agree. I was an offensive coach for Sean Payton when we were together at the Saints. And so, I mean, I know intimately like what he's doing, how he's thinking, how he's going about it. He's a, like G-Dub said, I mean, he's an amazing strategist. he gets how to teach. He gets how to structure it. You know, the way he sequences the plays and the way he builds it around what the guys can do. Obviously, I think Russell brings and does some different things, you know, than even Drew. But I think you already saw a level of efficiency, a level of on schedule timing, ball being spit out. And then you saw Russell do what he's always done, make some of the off schedule plays yesterday. But I think, you know, that's going to be a hard nosed division, right? I mean, there's some studs on the Raiders defense as well, too. And that's going to be part of it. And I think the running game part of it, that I don't think maybe enough people, because of all the stats they put up passing, you know, throughout the years in New Orleans. I don't think, you know, people realize just how good the run offense and how multiple that is in Sean Payton's offense as well, too. And I think that'll continue to build out and click and just help Russell and the crew even more when they're able to do that.
Greg, just hearing what your son Blake said, and then also knowing Russell Wilson a little bit as a player and having to go up against him in years past, you know, a lot of people trying to figure out what is Russ as a quarterback now in 2023 after a bad year a year ago. If you were still game planning up against him, what would you really be targeting, knowing what Sean likes to do and where Russ is right now?
Well, the big thing is that good defenses, and again, I was a quarterback, you know, a long time ago, and an offensive coordinator a long time ago. And when I got the chance to move up in the profession, I asked to move over and learn from Jack Pardee and the George Allen philosophy of defense to be a defensive coach and a special teams coordinator, knowing that when I become a head coach, then I've done all of that stuff. And you have an awareness about what everything's going on. The number one thing that a defense must be able to do at the highest level in the world in professional football is change the decisions that the quarterback is getting ready to make. Change the decisions that the play caller is getting ready to make. Now, does that mean, you know, through disguise type things, or does that mean through disruption and moving the quarterback off the spots that he wants to throw, the timing and how you're covering potential route concepts and stuff? All of that goes into it. And yesterday, again, the first fast-paced game of the year, you could see a few of those things still maybe being a little bit rigid in Russell's mind on having enough confidence to go ahead and check to another play that Sean allows him to do, or function exactly on time, if manageable, doing the play that you wanted to do. And I thought both the defenses yesterday in that ball game did some good disruptive things also.
Last thing I'll ask you guys, and you know, feel free to approach whoever who wants to between Greg and Blake Williams. What is it like to coach together?
Well, you know, I was I had no idea. You know, he goes to Princeton, and all of a sudden he gets a tremendous degree at Princeton, and he's going to be a dumbass coach. You know, I'm thinking, what did I pay all that money? I paid all that money for 5 years at Princeton to be a dumbass coach. Now, with all that being said and done, he's the best, and it has nothing to do with being with me, but my son. He's the best assistant coach I've ever had.
Wow.
I never had to say things more than once to him. He figured things out on his own. And that aspect, whenever you become and move up to the profession, you're no longer babysitting coaches because you're already babysitting enough players or enough other people in a professional organization that really don't belong. And so, how many people can you surround yourself, just like Sean Payton, how many people can you surround yourself that you no longer have to babysit so that you can be the expert that you are supposed to be? It was very, very, very fun doing that with him. And now he becomes a know-it-all in wealth management and becomes a know-it-all in technology. And so I'm anxious to see the next steps that he takes in that field, too.
Well, Greg,
yeah, I'd piggyback on that and say, just obviously there's nuances, right? When you're you call it nepotism, call it whatever, right? When you're working with your father, whether you're on the opposite side of the staff, you know, coaching with Sean Payton or together, and you have to you know, navigate those by just not worrying about it, working your butt off, you know, showing the guys that you can help and whatnot and what you're about. But the thing that I think I appreciated the most, I took from him in so many aspects of when I get a chance to go be a coordinator at different places, or even when I'm leading, you know, now in my various businesses, is just the way the organizational structure and the say what you mean what you say. Like, you always knew exactly where you stood with him as your boss. You always knew exactly what he wanted because he was going to tell you directly and then stick to that. Organizationally, like you knew exactly what you needed to do, where you needed to be, when, all of those things from the nth degree, which made it so easy. I always felt for us as assistant coaches or players to just do what we were having to do, right? And not have any sort of confusion or disorganization or mixed messages or whatnot. There's no mixed messages and no disorganization going on. And so learn a lot about that, and just try to continue to take that into all processes in the rest of my life.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of the way. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate what you do. And remember this, you know, my father-in-law, I lost him a couple of months ago, Mike Shannon, the legendary St. Louis Cardinal player and broadcaster, and he constantly pounded into me, make sure you understand in professional sports, young man, it's for the fans. Make sure the fans love being involved with what you do. Make sure of that. And I hear that in my head every single time. And we appreciate what you're doing also, Ryan. And don't ever, ever, ever apologize for being the best you can be. And don't ever apologize for checking whoop ass.
You got it. Greg and Blake, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
You bet.
Appreciate you.
There we go. Greg and Blake Williams right here on the Ryan Gelb, Zach Gelb show, CBS Sports Radio. That was fun chat. I had no clue Blake was joining us until Ryan got in my ear about 5 seconds before we got on. And he goes, his son's sitting right next to him. And I go, okay, that's going to be interesting. And then I guess he thought I was Ryan throughout the whole conversation. So good stuff there. Definitely fun. We'll take a break and come on back. A little bit awkward there.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
Nobody's picking the Colts to win the Super Bowl, so let's just go learn, right?
Well, this is always going to happen. Jim Irsay's calling all the shots there. And the honky-tonk man didn't draft this kid where they drafted this kid to have him look great in practice and look awesome running the scout team. You know what I mean? But yeah, let's play this Minshew cat or whatever on Sunday. Like, no way.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You could stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you could listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Hickey, let me ask you a question here. That interview we just did, if you could just describe it in one word, how would you describe it? And usually I pride myself on having great interviews on this show. And I usually think we have great interviews on this show. But how would be the one word that you kind of describe it right there?
I would say great. I thought Greg got the name right. I mean, he knew who he, you know, his favorite was, clearly.
Yeah. Let me tell you, you did a lot of work to get that interview,
and
right?
And so I'll say otherwise than that, I thought it was, you know, top notch.
I would say awkward. Because, like, when did we know that his son was coming on in the interview? Like, I texted Greg, asked him who came on because of the whole Cleveland Browns game that he was at yesterday. And, like, right before we go on, you're like, oh, his son's there. I'm like, who the heck's his son? I had no clue his son was on the staff back when the Saints won the Super Bowl, if we're being fair.
I had no idea he had a son. To be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
Greg Williams, nice guy.
65 years old. I don't know.
Plenty of coaches are married to the game, you know? We see it all the time.
Yeah. Most coaches have kids. Most coaches.
Okay, I mean, not all. I mean, I don't know Greg Williams' family, so I can't, you know, study up on the family history.
Anyway, you're 65. You would think that, you know, you probably have a kid, a few grandkids and stuff like that. He did text me afterwards. He goes, my son Blake called me a dumb mother bleeper as soon as we signed off the show for calling you Ryan. And I guess he was saying because of the Zoom on the Zoom. And I can't see them on Zoom, but on the Zoom link, since you set up the Zoom, Hickey, it said Ryan. So that's why he probably thought my name was Ryan, even though it was made clear that he was coming on the Zach Gelb show. And you know what was also funny, too? When I texted him today to come on, he, like, treated me as if I knew him for years. I don't think I've ever talked to Greg Williams before. I called him once to try to get him on, and that was after the whole Jet situation. Remember when he did that all-out blitz up against the Raiders, and then he got fired? And I tried to get him on that day, and, you know, clearly we didn't connect, but he said, Zach, great to hear from you. Hope all is well. Would love to come on the show tonight, and we'll promote it afterwards and send a Zoom link and all that. So maybe when I send it to him, I'll be like, hey, thanks. It's your boy, Ryan Hickey.
He did seem very personable. So like, it's not a text. He's a nice guy. You know.
It was fine.
That's good.
The conversation was good. All the other stuff was just awkward leading up to it. And then during it, too. So I would use the word awkward. If you want to host the show, I'll still get paid today. I could just go home. I could leave. And we'll be fine. And we'll have you host the show now.
I'll talk to Greg about getting the tailgating game up. One Mick Ultra. Come on. What are you doing? Sheesh.
And Hickey speaks from experience there. Because we remember you walking out of the Rose Bowl drunk as a skunk. What, 19 beers deep?
He's not coaching anymore. You're going, right? He said that was his first game he's ever been to as a fan. Let's let it rip. You're the mayor of Cleveland. Let it rip. Let it go. Have a day. It's raining. What? Come on. Opening day. Week one. Let's go.
The Browns wouldn't hire you to be their head coach, but then you become the mayor of Cleveland. That would be a funny career trajectory. So, hey, it is what it is. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I remember when I interned for Angelo Cataldi, I forget who the guest was, but they kept on calling Angelo a different name. I think they called him like Alex or something. And Angelo just never corrected me. He's like, all right, let's talk about the obvious. And he called me Alex throughout the entire conversation once the guest did hang up, so. Two Ryans isn't the end of the world right there. Alrighty, yesterday, the Green Bay Packers had an enormous day. And you look at all the games around the league, there was a lot of intrigue in that Packers and Bears game because for the first time in a while heading into that game, there was a legit reason to maybe talk yourself into picking the Chicago Bears, especially when you found out on Friday that Christian Watson was not going to play in the game. So, when you look back at that contest and you see the end result, I thought this was going to be, heading into the game, a toss-up game that was low-scoring and sloppy. And most of those week one games end up being low-scoring and sloppy because Greg Williams is right. These teams don't play anyone in the preseason anymore. But for Jordan Love, we heard it from Kenny Clark when he joined us in the offseason. And it's one thing to say you believe in a quarterback and you kind of search through the answer and say, I don't know how much belief there really is. But Kenny Clark was adamant about what Jordan Love has showed to this team. And I keep on saying this, and I'll say it again. The last 3 years, with all the craziness with Aaron Rodgers in his final few seasons with the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love said everything the right way. And Jordan Love conducted himself in a tough situation like the consummate professional. And I do believe when you handle yourself that way, like ultimately Jordan Love's going to have to play and play at a high level. He did that yesterday. But I think initially that provided Jordan Love with a lot of clout and respect in the locker room. Because that's not an easy situation. And you saw that Jordan Love on the field yesterday was a good quarterback, was a confident quarterback, but also, Hickey, someone that you could tell there's a genuine connection and synergy with the teammates and their quarterback. And I'm really curious how far the Packers could take it this year. Like, if they get to the playoffs, that'd be a wonderful season. Even if they lose by 50 on wild card weekend. But that defense is good. They have to work on their consistency. But offensively, without Christian Watson yesterday, you know, you had the two running backs too. Jordan Love did some really good things throwing for 3 touchdown passes in that game.
He did. A little shaky, but for the most part, looked very solid. Like you said, especially in the second half when the Bears, I mean, that, you know, for the most part, the Packers are controlling the whole game, but the Bears score a touchdown, get it to 10, going into the fourth quarter. The crowd's now starting to get into it. You can maybe sense a little bit of a changing of the tide. What does he do? March right down the field, cool, calm, collected, fourth down, boom, Aaron Jones, touchdown, game over. And so he did exactly what you want your starting quarterback to do. When the moment gets tough, rise up, carry your team, and he made some big plays in order to get the win.
Who's more miserable today, the Bronco fan or the Bears fan?
Oh, Bears fan. Bears. They thought the boogeyman's gone. Aaron Rodgers' dad is out of town. Now this is our division. At least now, forget about the division this year.
Yeah.
We should at least beat the Packers at home, and they couldn't even do that.
That's why when earlier you said, what was it, the most embarrassing loss or disappointment loss? Disappointing loss?
I said worst loss.
Worst loss. I still think it's the Bears. Because if you're a Bears fan, you think Justin Fields is the guy. You have all this hope, no Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be able to win the game. And you ended up losing. I know this isn't Jordan Love's first start, but it's his first true season as the starter. You lose by 18. 18 points in the game. And it was never a game. And they didn't have Christian Watson. If I'm a Bears fan walking out of that stadium, and I know you did so early, you're probably just saying to yourself, what the bleep just happened? But it's the same old with the Bears. Once again, you could change the quarterback in Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers will always own the Chicago Bears. It is the Ryan, Zach, Hickey, Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming on back. We will get to a little onside, offside next.